savings with the ultimate safe haven, assets of gold and silver. Your metals are held in the form of physical coins and bars in a private depository under your name and on your behalf. Simply visit BrighteonMetals.com today. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your financial security. Shouldn't you at least look into it? Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals, in business since 1976. Visit BrighteonMetals.com today.
Something special about the importance of satellite phones as a backup. And I want to bring this in because satellite phones are becoming the backup plan.
I can call anybody on a cell phone, they can call me. I can call anybody on landline, they can call me. And you get it for $99 a month and 150 minutes, your minutes roll over. I can speak for myself, and I know a whole lot of people say, amen, when you have loved ones or you can't connect or get information.
So I'm amazed at how much leeway it has. In fact, I've got one of those bandwidth devices that Tina sent me for emergency bandwidth backup. So in case I need to publish, I can take that on the road with my laptop, and I can have bandwidth working via satellite from anywhere on the road at any time.
Information or breaths of freedom. Again, you can go on Mike's website. The satellite phone is a necessity.
But this thing actually exists. You can use it today.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
The Kelly.
Tuesday morning, and man, do we have a lot to cover. It never seems that we run out of things to talk about.
And we never will, sir. You want to know why?
No, I know. As long as we have these tyrants, and as you were alluding to at the end of your radio show, these people are such liars, and the people that are behind the fear pandemic and peddling all this fear. And what really concerns me about it is that it's so successful with the sheeple of America. And
yeah, you know, Sheriff, even the patriots who really mean well for this country. Yeah. I mean, their hearts and minds and hearts, you know, their souls are into it. They're even deceived on the point. And the reason that we take this on so direct, so blatant, so clear, and standing direct opposition, and we'll get into what we're talking about in just a second, because we believe that this is literally undermining all that we're doing at the CSPOA. That's the reason that we're so doubling down on this, Sheriff.
Yeah, it does. And I've had to fight it ever since I was sheriff. The patriots that simply want to dump everything on the sheriff, and that the sheriff should just go arrest the governor, or the sheriff should go arrest the president, or they should all just go arrest the mayor. And look, if there's criminals, which we know darn well, you alluded to this in your show, in your radio show this morning, if there are criminals, it doesn't matter if they're in government or if they're part of a street gang or part of the mafia. It does not matter who commits the crime or from where or from whence the crime comes. The sheriff or the chief of police or both have a responsibility and a duty to investigate just like they would any other criminal activity. However, therein lies the problem, is that people are just demanding arrests, and you can't have the arrest without first having the investigation. And so we really need to focus on the due process that is required to do all of that. And speaking of that right now.
But even sorry to interrupt, Sheriff, but yeah, even rewind a little bit further than if you want to have an arrest, you got to have an investigation. Before the investigation, though, you got to literally have probable cause of some kind. You can't just launch random investigations everywhere. They're expensive. Right. They're time consuming. So people need to understand the process here.
Yeah. And due process, obviously, is part of the probable cause is part of the due process. And, you know, read the Sixth Amendment of the Constitution, maybe a little bit also the Fourth. But due process is part of probable cause and a legitimate, lawful reason to be conducting these investigations. Believe me, nobody wants those investigations more than I do. And action needs to be taken. And we already have some sheriffs in the country that have been doing this. So it's okay to go to your sheriff and ask him to do things. It's also not okay to ask him to do some other things. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. First of all, I want to get something out of the way. There's hundreds of people in the country who are really focused on sending these affidavits to politicians and city council members, county commissioners, sheriffs, whoever, state reps, U.S. congressmen, and they have these affidavits, and it says in the affidavit, if you don't respond to us within 10 days, then you're guilty of a crime. Now, if we read the Bill of Rights, and especially the Fifth Amendment, what's wrong with telling any potential criminal that if you don't talk to me and respond, if you don't make an admission, if you don't talk to me, then you've made an admission that you're guilty.
Well, this violates my right to remain silent, number one. It violates my due process, number two. It pretends I'm guilty unless I prove otherwise. In other words, assumption of guilt rather than assumption of innocence. There's all kinds of problems written all over that, Sheriff.
Of course. And obviously, the one thing that I think everybody in the country knows this principle, I shouldn't call it a thing. We all know this principle that in the Fifth Amendment, I plead the Fifth. I don't have to talk. I don't have to give evidence against myself. I don't have to testify against myself. Yet all of these affidavits require that they do just that. Ridiculous and absurd. And I really wish, I beg, everybody that's part of these assemblies or groups or organizations, or you're just doing it on your own, that you first set the example and follow the law yourself. And that we in the Patriot community should be together on all of this. And we should know and understand that even for a crooked politician, they are allowed their due process and they're guaranteed liberty as detailed in the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights is the supreme law of the land. The supreme of the Constitution is the Bill of Rights.
Now, let's be clear, Sheriff. In addition to this, we need to understand that even though we feel like these government people are criminals, and even though I don't like the way it is, remember, we teach to the ideal and we live in the real. I don't like the fact that governments and government officers and elected and appointed officials have greater immunity. Right. I think we ought to change the law to fix that to a great degree. But right now it's true. Government officials have a great degree of immunity, and that's why it's so hard to just run around and arrest these people. That's why it's so hard. We have peaceful processes to change the game. Elections is one of them. All kinds of ways
recall.
To censure, to do all kinds of things to them. But we just don't have this ability to do whatever we want to. They do have a great degree of immunity that cannot be ignored in the real at this time.
Yeah, and I'm against some of that immunity.
Of course.
If you commit a crime, then you do the time. You answer to the law just like everyone else. But we already know that there's elitism in politics and government. And of course, Nancy Pelosi has expressed that it's okay for members of Congress to do insider trading in the stock markets. That's illegal. Martha Stewart went to prison for 6 months for the exact same thing that Congress, members of Congress, do as a matter of routine to line their own pockets. And it's blatant, open, criminal activity by these members of Congress, and it is supported by the third most powerful person in Washington, D.C., the Speaker of the House, Ms. Pelosi. So it's so absurd how open they are with their criminal activity. You and I have discussed that many times. It's blatant, right in your face, bold in your face. Folks, we know we have a lot of problems, and these are desperate times, but we cannot make more mistakes and add to the problem. We need to be part of the solution. And this is the other thing that I wanted to discuss about that. You cannot go and ask your sheriff to do things that are completely contrary to his job. First of all, let's look at what the sheriff is supposed to do. He is part of the executive branch. He is the executor of the law. And yes, a lot of you don't like this, but yes, he is part of law enforcement. Yes, he is a peace officer. He is required to keep the peace. If he doesn't do it how you like, then you can. There are remedies. Vote him out, do a recall, vote a censure against him or her.
Depending on states, you might impeach.
Yes, yes. And there's ways to maybe do that. Some places don't have impeachment or recall. Some states don't have that for public officials. So yeah,
you can't even get your DA or your county commissions to defund him. There's a lot of ways to change the game.
There's other things, and you should take advantage of all of those. But first and foremost, you should have a relationship with your sheriff. Okay, where do we go with that? Well, first, you look at the law and you look at what he is supposed to be doing. You need to know what your sheriff is in charge of. First and foremost, he is in charge of keeping his oath of office. He is required by law to swear an oath of allegiance to the Constitution. Founding fathers put that in Article 6, requiring every public official from the dog catcher all the way down to the president to swear an oath of allegiance to the Constitution. Why? Because it perpetuates liberty. And this is where we have fallen down as a society that we don't get. And that is that we have put no punishment or criminal attachment to someone who fails to keep their oath. The only thing that I've ever come up with there is that anyone who swears that oath and intentionally violates it should be charged with perjury and should be investigated for perjury. Now, that's the minimum you could get. I think there's an argument for treason. Somebody who willfully and intentionally violates their oath of office and the Constitution and the rights of the people. But I think that's one mistake that maybe the Founding Fathers committed. I'm not sure where that should come in, but it's already against the law to commit perjury. And I believe that we should focus on that.
Now, Sheriff, that's a high bar, and I agree that should be the case. And we need to peacefully change things to up the ante there without a doubt. Right. However, remember, too, that keeping one's oath of office is a whole lot of reality about what that oath is and a little bit of personal interpretation. But I can't just say that I believe you're violating your oath, therefore, because I say so, or I think so, or I am convinced so, that becomes the order of the day. The sheriff has a little bit of autonomy. Every public official has a little bit of autonomy about what that oath means and how they should carry it out. And we may not always agree about that. So there's facts involved, and there's also a whole lot of latitude for opinion, interpretation, and circumstances. But there's some there. So individually, the point that I want to drive home right now is that you can't just determine that you know what the oath is and your way of keeping it or upholding it is the exact right way, and every other way is wrong. And I think as patriots, we do that a lot too. We think we know everything. We think, hey, this is the way it is. This is the facts. And sheriff or public, you're wrong. It isn't always that clear and simple, Sheriff.
No, it isn't. You know, and there's probably some gray areas, as you're alluding to, especially when you look at, okay, how's a sheriff going to investigate and handle all of these? He's got a lot to juggle. He has a lot on his plate. But you can go and file a complaint with the sheriff and see how he handles it. However, we must understand the sheriff's role. And that's why I wrote the book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement. That's one of my law enforcement books. It's very short. It's Payne, Thomas Payne. You know, it's only 30 pages. And then The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. You should read both of those books. And they're available at CSPOA.org. Every one of you should become a member of the CSPOA. Go to CSPOA.org and become a member of our posse. Make a donation. Help us keep going and doing what we've been doing for the last 10 to 20 years. The CSPOA has been there 11 years now. And we get funded through citizens' involvement across the country. Now, let's go back to some of the things that sheriffs have complained to me about. One of them is that people come and ask them to form their own grand juries. Oh, my goodness. Folks, there is a check and balance system that exists in every county. The sheriff, what is he in charge of? He is in charge, I just got through saying, the executor of the law. He enforces the law. How does he do that?
Another way to say this is he carries out the law, Sheriff.
I know. Well, exactly. You know, and so is he required by law to enforce the law in a certain manner? No. And that's exactly what you just alluded to, Sam. How the sheriff does traffic control. Does he have to write a ticket if somebody runs a stop sign? No, he doesn't. In fact, I'm glad they don't. I'm very anti-traffic ticket, okay? They're all about revenue, but that's we can maybe get into that a little bit later in the show. However, there is nothing to say how the sheriff enforces the law, okay? Does he have to investigate? No, it's up to him to decide whether to investigate somebody on a certain criminal complaint that you might make. He might tell you, that's not going anywhere. I'm not going to investigate it. He might do the investigation, turn it over to the county attorney, and the county attorney says, no, insufficient evidence. I'm not going to prosecute. It's done. The sheriff cannot go around the county attorney and prosecute on his own.
Now, let me stop you there, Sheriff. I don't want to interrupt, but I want to be very clear. This is where a lot of our critics abuse us and say that we think that the sheriff is God in his county. That's an absolute lie. We believe in the checks and balances. As we just said, if the sheriff investigates something, gets done, submits his evidence to the DA shuts it down. The sheriff can't just go arrest the DA. The DA has committed no crime. You can say, well, wait a minute, the DA shut down a crime. I know. I get it. But the checks and balances are that we, the people, if we don't like what the sheriff did or what the DA did or et cetera, we can take it to our county commissions or the equivalent thereof. We can re-elect somebody else in their place. We can take it to a higher level, say the governor or the state attorney general. Or there's a lot of remedies we have. But just suggesting that, hey, the sheriff's bad now and the DA's bad, that doesn't get it, folks. I know you're frustrated, but it's a dream to think that we can just – demand our will and it be the truth. It violates the law and it violates their autonomy in their oaths of office. Sheriff?
Well, yeah. And so, Sam, first of all, I think speaking for both you and me, most of the people that are involved in some of these organizations, as I mentioned earlier, assemblies, just about every state has some people, good, honest, patriotic people that have formed assemblies. Okay. I have been at their meetings. I have had webinars with them. These are good people. But I'm telling you, sometimes they make our job at the CSPOA more difficult. And so let me tell you what sheriffs are not going to do. They are not going to to form their own grand juries. And neither are you, at least lawfully. And forming your own grand jury without any other government oversight or involvement is wrong. Okay? And there are people who have continued to form these and then get together and issue indictments or writs. And then I've always asked, who's going to serve your writs? Who's going to serve your indictments? Who's going to get the grand jury to actually hear about the indictment? Well, you say you have already done that. Okay, then who's going to prosecute? You do not have a prosecutor. Now your entire process has just stopped.
And what they'll say is, what they'll say, Sheriff, is the sheriff has to. The DA has to. We have an indictment here. And my response is, it's not a legitimate indictment, and they do not have to.
No, they don't. And they haven't. And so one of the problems with all of that is it just doesn't have any follow-up to it. It doesn't have any constitutional backing. It's simply not there. And the check and balance, okay, the sheriff is in charge. We all want him to investigate these crimes. Yes, we do. Could he be the one to actually call together a jury and form a grand jury to examine the very criminal complaint that the sheriff has been looking at? The sheriff does an investigation and then he gets to call his own grand jury to judge it, to see if there's enough evidence. A grand jury is to determine if there's enough evidence to go to trial. And so the sheriff now is in charge of all of that? No, he's not. The check and balance system is he does the investigation and then he refers it to the county attorney for prosecution. And that's part of the check and balance system. And I don't get to control grand juries. And I don't get to control any jury.
He can and he should say, I think this warrants a grand jury. And he can lend his weight towards that effort. But he cannot demand it or empower it just because he wants to.
Yes. And there may have been a time, and I've done some research on this before, there may have been a time in America where there wasn't a county attorney and a local judge or a district judge or a territorial judge would appoint an attorney to be the prosecutor and then also appoint the defendant an attorney if he was indigent. So maybe, but a sheriff calling out a grand jury has not happened in this country for well over 100 years.
Nor should it, Sheriff, because it puts too much concentration in one person. That's what's interesting to me about the Patriots is they always want the separation of powers and they want to use checks and balances, except for when they're mad and they want to do something. Then they want a godlike figure, whether it be the president, the sheriff, whoever it is, to just take dictatorial powers to solve it. That isn't the way it works, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and I don't support dictators no matter what side of the aisle it's on.
Not even if it's a sheriff?
Especially that, because I was a sheriff for 8 years, and I know the job like the back of my hand. And for people to come in and say, well, you should protect me from having to have a driver's license. Folks, that is a key issue I want to talk about when we get back from the break.
I can travel. I don't need to drive. I have the constitutional right to move about, and I can travel, Sheriff.
Right.
That's how the argument goes, right?
Yes, exactly. And I will tell you that philosophically and technically, you might just be correct. Wow. Then why am I so against that? Ha. So, Sam, I know we only have a few seconds left in the first half of the show, and thanks for helping with this. But I want everyone to know there is a solution there, and your sheriff is vitally important in this solution, and so are you. And we need to be together. We need to be together on this solution. So stand by for more.
But so is the district attorney. So is the county commission. Remember, there's three branches of government. There's checks and balances, vertical and horizontal. We'll talk about it in seconds as the Sheriff Mac Show continues with Liberty Roundtable Live, simulcast on radio, right here on FridayDoc.tv.
Island coins and precious metals. Mike Adams of naturalnews.com says 2020 has shown us that we must prepare for the unexpected. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your fiscal security during the coming financial pandemic. Shipments of real gold and silver are delivered safely, discreetly, and securely right to your door. You can also hold precious metals in your IRA. This allows you to protect your retirement savings with the ultimate safe haven, assets of gold and silver. Your metals are held in the form of physical coins and bars in a private depository under your name and on your behalf. Simply visit BrighteonMetals.com today. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your financial security. Shouldn't you at least look into it? Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals, in business since 1976. Visit BrighteonMetals.com today.
This is an amazing company that has sponsored both of us. And this is a way to have backup communications when the grid goes down.
Well, the situation became problematic, Mike, with the New Orleans, the latest hurricane, because people panicked. And this is one thing that I've learned from being associated with the satellite phone store for over a decade. People will call and order 600 phones at a time.
What?
It's like this, Mike. Anytime there is a crisis, people want these. And ladies and gentlemen, they've created such a good deal for Mike's viewers, my viewers, our combined viewers, that this is the only way you're going to be able to communicate.
And that's the other beauty about these phones, is they can't track you because it's not talking to a cell tower. It's talking to satellites, you know, orbiting over the equator. So SAT123.com, folks.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with the Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build a quiet, suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
Richard Mack on the Sheriff Mack Show. I am Sam Bushman, the operations director of CSPOA.org, the good sheriff, the president of the organization. We co-host the Sheriff Mack Show on Brighty on TV, the simulcast on Liberty Roundtable Live, nationally syndicated radio show as well. I want to mention that there's a lot of names for what we're talking about here, ladies and gentlemen. You know, there's a lot of names for the deep government. Deep state is the latest term people use. But, you know, the shadow government, deep state, tyrannical, global governance, whatever. There's a gazillion terms for a lot of that, right? Well, there's also 1,000 names for the different things we're talking about here, which we believe undermine the legitimate proper role of limited government, replete with checks and balances, okay? And whether it's the driver's license issue, which the sheriff will address in a second, whether it's QAnon, which I don't believe in at all, ladies and gentlemen, if there was really a government inside person that released as much information, if it was all factual and truthful as we think, they would be outed and stopped in a second by the CIA, by the FBI, by the Justice Department, the group, the Pentagon, the Department of Defense. I mean, the list of agencies that would literally vet and prove and reject such a character is unprecedented. So understand the QAnon isn't true. Now, QAnon's been silent. Now, the latest term for it's devolution. Trump's going to get this military and do all these things. We'll get into that later. None of that's true either. Ladies and gentlemen, don't be deceived. Anytime somebody wants to increase power for a certain individual and or group at the expense of the appropriate constitutional checks and balances, you know it's folly. You know it's crazy. Anytime you think that you, the people, can just get together and create some group and do whatever you want to and mandate your will as a dictator, it's foolish. How do you know my grand jury is not bigger than your grand jury or more powerful or more armed to the teeth or whatever the case? This idea is false. The checks and balances, the proper role of legitimate government, the founders were brilliant and understood these principles very well. And you know what? Even though our system is designed to go slow, justice grinds slowly, they say, and it's designed oftentimes to protect those who don't deserve protection, I get it. But the pendulum swinging the other direction creates anarchy and literally undermines what we at the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association are trying to accomplish. We want to help you truly hold those whom you elect accountable. And then whoever they appoint, we want to create accountability there as well. But it doesn't happen by rogue efforts. It doesn't happen by stupid ideas that undermine everything we're trying to accomplish. So remember, it doesn't matter what name it goes under. Understand principles here. So let's go back to the driver's license idea. I don't need a driver's license, Sheriff. I'm free to travel as an American. I'm free. I'm sovereign. Oh, by the way, that's another name, sovereign. I'm a sovereign citizen. I can do whatever I want, Sheriff.
Yeah, the issue of personal sovereignty and state sovereignty, state sovereignty exists to protect the sovereignty of the individual. And I believe in sovereignty. But I also believe in law and order. And I also believe that the states have a lot of leeway in establishing regulations. Regulatory authority for the federal government is extremely limited and almost non-existent. They have none, except for interstate commerce. That's the only regulatory authority allowed the federal government. Everything after that belongs to, is retained by the states. Now, I've had lots of people, while I was sheriff, even before that, while I was a cop, and lots sounds like it happened every day, it didn't, that told me, a cop or a sheriff, that they were not required to have a driver's license. You and I both know and have a friend by the name of Michael Badnarik. He did not believe in having a driver's license. Okay, he said, I don't need to ask permission from government for a permit to go from point A to point B. I said, okay, then I can guarantee you, and he was driving me at the time to go to a meeting. He picked me up at the airport. It was in Texas somewhere. And we're going to a meeting, and he's driving. And I said, you don't have a driver's license. He goes, no. And I said, well, you know, sooner or later, you're going to go to jail. And he goes, yeah, I already have twice. So I believe my bet is, in fact, you and I are going to need to ask him, and I will, if he now has a driver's license. Because I know he got a brand new car and he was really bragging about his new beautiful car. And that's great. Okay. It's still his choice whether or not to have one or not. I agree. But there are certain law enforcement personnel out there that if they find out you don't have a driver's license, they will either cite you for failure to have a driver's license or they will take you in right then. They will actually arrest you and take you before a judge, say, this guy, this is his third time, and so I'm bringing you before the magistrate, okay? And sometimes they do that. And he has spent a night or two or a weekend in jail on this particular issue. Just so you know, folks, it might happen that you get arrested on this issue. Might be that you go for a long time without it, without getting in trouble. However, am I saying you should get in trouble? No. I'm saying that sometimes you will. Okay? That's a big difference. Now, how do we as a society determine if someone should be allowed to drive? Well, that's just up to the families. So you're saying that if the family says a 10 or 12-year-old child can drive, then it's up to them. No, We have a say-so in that. We have a legitimate, lawful say in that. So what we have done is we have said 16 years of age is the time when kids can start driving. Some people are against that, but we have pretty much settled on the 16-year-old threshold. Now, if that is okay, then how do we make sure if no one has a driver's license, if that's not, then what do? Well, I am for this. I'm actually for replacing the driver's license with a letter or a certificate of competency, which again gets government involved or a private company, if you will, just like a company that teaches student driving, teaches kids how to drive. That same company can issue a certificate of competency showing that you are proved to be a competent driver.
I'm a sovereign citizen, Sheriff. You don't have the right to create any competency test for me. I'm going to demonstrate the absurd by being absurd for a second. Are you ready?
All right, go ahead.
I'm an adult male. I'm over 21. I can do whatever I want to, and I'm a totally blind person. And you know what? You can't stop me from moving about. Who do you think you are? I'm going to get in my car and drive around. I want sovereign citizens that say you can do whatever you want to say that I can't. Are you suggesting because I'm blind that I have less rights than you have? How dare you? Shame on you, you tyrannical thug. Leave me alone. I'm independent. I'm sovereign. I can do what I want. I'm a blind person, and I'm going to drive now. Is that okay?
I could see where you could get behind the wheel of some of these self-drive vehicles now, I guess you could drive now.
Yeah, but self-driving vehicles aside, you can't stop me. See, do I have less rights?
You don't, but you do have less capability.
That's right. So societally, we've said, listen, ladies and gentlemen, your rights end where mine begin. Mine end where yours begin. Sam, the reason you can't drive is because you are putting my rights, my autonomy, my freedom, my life. Remember, it's about life, liberty, and property. You're jeopardizing my life. You're jeopardizing my liberty, and you're jeopardizing my property if you drive.
So let
you
me
can't
wrap,
do that.
Let me wrap the driver's license issue up with this. First of all, some of you might be correct that no government has the authority to force you to have a driver's license. Okay, you might be right there, but I believe that as a society, we all have a right to know that whoever gets in that vehicle is of a competent age and that that person is a competent driver. I have a right to know when I go down the road that the other people driving all over the place on the freeway or wherever are competent drivers. How do we as a society address that issue? Yes, as a society, we have a right to know and to do things to make sure that traffic is handled in a proper way where we can trust each other on the road. Okay? Do I have a right to force you to do any of that? No, I don't. But we do have a right to know that you can drive. Okay? I have that. I don't want to force you to do anything, but we can set standards, and states do have a lot more broad regulatory authority than does the federal government. I'm all for that. But you and I can work on that later on as far as the certificate of competency earned by anyone. And then we can maybe breach that age gap. But I'm telling you, folks, you better not be having your 12 and 13-year-olds drive when it comes to that.
I think you should let blind people drive, and that just proves the point all the way to the extreme. Ladies and gentlemen, at some point we agree that we're going to coexist with one another. We agree that not only do I have rights, but with those rights, I have responsibilities, ladies and gentlemen. And a responsible blind person that's an adult would say, hey, I might have a right to drive, but I certainly will not be exercising that right anytime soon because I care about your rights as much as I care about mine.
Yeah. And then that person will go to the sheriff and say, hey, I got a ticket on this. Get me out of it. I'm going to say
not going to happen, folks.
No, I'm going to say no way. I'll if you want to call me as an expert witness, I'll go testify, okay? But I'm not going to get you out of that ticket. And I'm telling you, folks, right now, my deputies were told not to write very many tickets, especially for not having a seatbelt. But if you endangered and or hurt someone else on a traffic matter, I guarantee you're going to get a ticket. And we did issue those. But I'm all for diminishing the frequency of ticket writing in this country. It's been abused tremendously. There we agree. 90% of the tickets in this country are unconstitutional because they're taking your property without a legitimate reason.
And without appropriate due process either, with the checks and balances. In the remaining minutes, Sheriff, I want to highlight something that I really think is important, this de-evolution or devolution idea. What is devolution? Why is the person behind Q silent? Are some honest, open, fair questions. Correct. Who is John Harold, by the way? He's the patriot. They call him the Patel Patriot, Mr. Truth Bomb or whatever else. Devolution.link is his website. John falsely claims a bunch of things, in my opinion. And I know the patriots are going to eat me alive for this, but I'm going to stand tall for the truth. He falsely claims that Trump has power to deal with acts of war, election fraud, COVID bioweapons, etc. Okay, Cash Patel, Anthony Tata, or whatever these guys are, you know, these are the people that have surrounded Trump. As Trump neared the ending of his first term in the presidency, he literally concentrated some power. And so they say John talks, this, you know, de-evolution patriot guy, John talks about how Trump moved certain people to concentrated powerful positions in preparation for this. John refers to Trump's, quote, executive order after executive order to make the points. But ladies and gentlemen, you forget again the checks and balances. De-evolution is the idea, or devolution is the idea that says, let's push power to the states, to the people, let's centralize. Right. And that's a great general concept that Americans, checks and balances, the Constitution supports. But here's what the Constitution does not support, and that is we have to concentrate power. We got to give absolute dictatorial power to Trump and to the military so then they can, in their benevolence, decentralize. That's where the lies come. Whether you say 1871 was the last of the United States, whether you say, hey, we can take this over by our own grand juries, whether you say, hey, you know, QAnon will get the truth, or devolution will get to the truth, or you're not going to have a quick fix, ladies and gentlemen. You're not. And anytime you've fight the checks and balances, or in an effort concentrate power for the benevolence of those who would decentralize power, you're being deceived by socialist and communist ideologies and principles. The truth is the constitution of the federal government, or the general government as it's better called, and the constitutions of your states require appropriate checks and balances vertically and horizontally. And there is no way to resolve problems and create accountability and transparency without the people being engaged. Our founding fathers said you have a constitutional republic if you can keep it. You're not going to get 10 patriots to demand something and create change. You're not going to get patriots to go to the sheriff with these crazy ideas and say, help me, do something for me, fix it now, dictator sheriff. You've got all the power in the world. It's all a big lie, and all it's doing is undermining the legitimate work of the CSPOA. And that's what I want to really end talking about, Sheriff, our work and how all these crazy ideas are undermining the real work being done every day in this country by true, honest patriots who understand the proper role of government.
Amen to that, Sam. Very well put. Yes, folks, we are against citizen self-appointed grand juries. We're all for the grand jury process.
And we're all for fully informed grand juries as well.
Oh, fully informed juries is absolutely vital. And you do not have to follow any of the instructions of a judge once you're appointed to a jury. And yes, you need to be very discreet during voir dire when they're interviewing potential jurors. You need to be very discreet in not exposing that you're a right-wing constitutional nut. Because we want people like you on juries. We want people who know and understand the law, and that the jury is the final say in any court case. You are the final say, not the judge. You do not have to follow his instructions. He will say that you do. I don't care what he says. You do not have to follow his instructions. You can vote however you want once you're on a jury. We want you on the jury. But again, you're going to have to be still and not expose what a right-wing crazy radical you might be. And I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that that's what they will say to keep you off a jury. We want you on the jury. Just simply say that, answer their questions, but very simply, and that you can judge this particular case according to the law with impartiality. Do it. We want you there. Folks, but let me be real here. Let me be real clear. The sheriff cannot call out grand juries, nor will he. If you go to a sheriff's and say that we support that, then they will run from you and they will run from us. They will not do that. We do not support, and I do not support, people forming their own juries and then issuing their own indictments that go nowhere. Okay? And it will not be served by your sheriff. No sheriff is willing to do that. And we at the CSPOA are not willing to start trying to train sheriffs to do that. We train sheriffs to enforce, defend, and obey the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. And yes, the Declaration of Independence. It's very fundamental. Our solution is very fundamental. The solution is not if we move forward. The solution is behind us. It is in the principles upon which America was founded. We can do this. We have sheriffs doing it. One thing that we have at the CSPOA is proof positive that our solution is working. We need your help. We want you to join us in this holy cause in making this solution bigger, better, and faster. Please don't get in the way with some of these crazy ideas that the sheriff can do this and this and this. It's very fundamental. He swore an oath. He needs to know and understand what that oath means. Therefore, he needs to know and understand the Constitution. We can do this together. We ask you to join us in this. But let's keep it simple and let's keep it real.
And remember, ladies and gentlemen, we don't believe the sheriff is a king or a dictator or a god. He has tremendous authority. And sadly, across the country, sheriffs are living beneath their station. No doubt about it. At the same time, we cannot elevate their station to become greater than the checks and balances constitutionally allow for. These are critical things, ladies and gentlemen, that we want you to understand. We'll talk about this more in subsequent broadcasts. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Become a member of the CSPOA and join the solution today. CSPOA.org. For the good sheriff, Sheriff Richard Mack, I am Sam Bushman. God bless the United States. Of America.
Parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, the Brighty on TV clock and the Liberty Roundtable clock don't always match up perfectly. And as a result, that's why I kind of come back and do the rest of the show. They end at 55 after. They start at 00. We start at 5 after and end at the end of the hour. And so that overlap, I got a deal kind of with both ends of it. We're doing the very best we can. Our goal is to simulcast. the Brighty on TV show, the Sheriff Mac show, with the Liberty Roundtable live broadcast. We're doing our best to get as much coverage, as much promotion as we possibly can, ladies and gentlemen. I want to be very clear on this, then. What is de-evolution or devolution? It's this idea that we're going to decentralize control. The concept and the word makes some sense. How they're going about it does not make sense, ladies and gentlemen. They want you to believe that somehow Trump has power to deal with acts of war, election fraud, bioweapons like COVID or whatever, etc. And they talk about how Donald Trump moved people to concentrated positions with tremendous authority before he ended his stint in office. And sadly, that's what made a lot of the people go against Trump, defund him on all these social media sites, or deplatform him, defund him on all these social media sites. And that's what really had everybody in a panic. When Trump issued executive order after executive order, et cetera, people started to freak. When he started moving people into concentrated positions of power, people started to freak, and justly so. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, the president doesn't have power to declare war. Congress has the power to declare war. Let's be very clear about that. The checks and balances cannot be ignored. Was 1871 the last of the United States? I don't think so. Did we lose a lot of authority, a lot of proper role of government? Did the states lose a lot of autonomy over the Civil War that took place in America? Absolutely. Can we create our own courts and our own grand juries? No, we can't, folks. Okay, we need to understand that our system is not a dictator position. Whether you love Trump and you want him to fix the problems, or whether you think your sheriff is a king, he's not. Okay? And I don't support this idea that we're going to get de-evolution by giving unique people concentrated power of positions backed by the military. The military is going to save us. Ladies and gentlemen, declaring that much concentrated power should scare the bejeebies out of you. Should scare the heck out of you. I don't care if it's Trump or who it is. We shouldn't give that much power to anybody, even if it's for a so-called benevolent purpose. Same thing with this convention of states, or an Article 5 convention, or whatever you want to say. Okay, I don't support that either. We're giving too much power to too few people that we will not be in control of. Okay, the wheels will fall off, folks. It is not wise. It is not prudent. It is not appropriate, and it is not constitutional. You say, well, Sam, an Article 5 convention is constitutional. Maybe. Depends on how they carry it out. And how do we know it? Whether it will stay constitutional or whether it will go rogue? We don't know. Okay? So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that what we need to do is settle down in America. If you want to win this battle for liberty, it starts with morality in the people. It starts with a moral and a religious people. And it starts with good people obeying and honoring and upholding and sustaining the law. That's the checks and balances put in place by the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, designed to chain the general government down and give them very narrow power by the consent of the governed. And then for the states to have a lot broader, a lot more authority and power, a lot more latitude, if you will. But the state constitutions govern that authority and power as well. And if you think you're going to solve this with 10 patriots showing up to a meeting, you're wrong. The only way for us to solve this is for the majority of the people to become a moral people, the majority of the people to become a religious people. I don't care what religion you choose. The fundamental basics taught by religion in general, by Christian or Judeo-Christian religion, are the keys to peace and prosperity. Okay? And if you think we can save America any other way, I submit to you that you're wrong. The only way is for good, honest, moral people to stand together and demand the checks and balances peacefully through the system our founding fathers gave everything, including their lives, their fortune, their sacred honors, to make possible. There is no other way. Now, if they force us to war, that might create a different landscape that I pray we never cross that Rubicon. I pray we can remain peaceful and that we can stand together until the Savior Jesus Christ returns again. Oh, by the way, George Washington had a vision about that very thing. You got to check that out. We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com for audio archives. Brighty on TV. Brighty on.tv
or .com, I should say, Brighteon.com for the digital archives of video. God save the Republic of the United States of America.